Hello, this is John Galloway.
And this is Jesse Liberty.
And this is the Full Stack Videocast, a pair programming experiment where we build out a full working application spanning from server to web and phone and everything else in between while you watch.
John!
Hello, Jesse.
That was good, John. That was, you were right there.
I was waiting, right on. Edge of my seat. So long time no see.
Yeah, since, what was it, a week ago at the MVP Summit.
Right.
Which was great.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was really cool. That's always cool because there's so many. It truly is global. You're talking to people from all over the world. I met people I've been talking to and working with for years, and they're in Australia and they're in Europe. And every year, it's great to get together with everybody.
And the proportion of people you know and who know each other and who know you and so forth and so on is higher than it. Most of these conferences.
It's true. There were a few times where people would say, you know, if a bomb were to hit this building, the entire F-Sharp development community, which, you know, or whatever community,
right.
You get everyone in one place.
Yeah, well, fortunately, there were no explosions, and there was some pretty interesting stuff went on, and it was revealed that, and also we revealed,
you know, one thing I can say is that, The ASP sessions, the feedback from the MVPs over the previous years, including myself when I was an MVP, was just like, show us crazy stuff that may or may not work. Like, we don't want to see slides. We want to see nightly builds, you know, just go for it. And so it really, truly was like that. I don't know about sessions you were at, but the ASP sessions, they were showing just crazy. I mean, you know, let's go out to the CI server. Here's some code. You know, okay, that didn't work. Here's how we fix it, you know, and just it was really cool to see like that to the metal and be that involved. It was pretty neat.
No, it was great. And I went to the Windows Phone Developer Group. And, of course, that was just four grumpy guys who had nothing to do and nothing to see. But no, it was great. No, it was dry. It's not at all true. They were brilliant. They were wonderful. And we had a really good time. And the enthusiasm around Windows Phone was phenomenal. It was just so exciting and invigorating, and so it was great.
That's cool.
He says as he tries to reclaim his career.
Poor grumpy guys.
That's gonna follow me around, I'm sure. All right. So, what are we talking about today, John?
Well, so while we were at the summit, the two of us had a few pair programming sessions. We were hoping to record it, but it was just, we couldn't find anywhere quiet.
That's literally so. We just couldn't find a room quiet enough to do a recording.
But we made a huge amount of progress, I think. We pretty much decided to chuck out a bunch of working code and rebuild it.
Right. On the Windows Phone side, what we decided to do was to take what we had done so far, which is really exploratory of making the connection from Windows Phone to Entity Framework, and take that learning, set it on the side, and start clean with MVVM Lite and building a more or less a test-driven MVVM-based Windows Phone application. Mm-hmm. And that went really well. We did a Google search on Bing or a Bing search on Google and quickly found a number of sites that told us about setting up the Silverlight unit test. One that we found that was very, very helpful was this one by David Gadd, who walked us through the setup and how to obtain the secret Windows Phone Silverlight unit test kit bits from the famous Jeff Wilcox. Mm-hmm. And we set that up. And
if you can page down this, too, I mean, this is just...
Yeah, he did a great job. He shows you, not only does he give you step-by-step on how to install, but he gives you the step-by-step on what code to add. You can copy and paste this right in, and he really walks you through it in a very nice way.
Mm-hmm. And for both of us, having done a fair amount of this level of, you know, writing something up, this is an impressive amount of work. So,
yes. Yeah. In fact, I would really like to write up about the Silverlight unit test, but I think my entire blog post is going to be, go read this one. As he did do a good job. Okay, so let's take a look at the first thing we decided to do was to take what he was showing how to do and use that as a way to kick the tires on Silverlight unit test. Mm-hmm. And so I have, I believe...
That was... you've got... Well,
yeah, I've got it running right here. This is... let me stop it. And this is the material that he actually shows in that column. We did the beginnings of some of those tests. So he has you set up a fake repository and set up this organization of the folders is his. A support folder inside is a domain repository, view model, and so on. That's his arrangement. And what the advantage of running this right now would be to show what it looks like when you run a unit test and when that unit test fails and when they succeed. Mm-hmm. So let's bring up, you actually see that in the emulator. There's an opportunity there to use tags to pick which pieces you want. This should throw an exception. I believe it probably just did throw an exception because this test asserts that my customer view model is of type iNotify property change, which it's not. But even though it threw that exception, I can continue on and see that the test fails in the emulator. And then if I click on that test, I can see, well, these are all the tests that ran within that set of tests. Here's the one that failed. Let's look at one that succeeded. And there's information about the successful test. And then go back and here's information about the one that failed. And it tells me what assembly it's in and namespace and the class and which method specifically failed. And then it shows me the assertion
mm-hmm.
that did not succeed. And then we can go in. We can actually go in and repair that and see pretty quickly and see what happens when it works. So it's complaining that the customer view model is not of type iNotify property change. We can see that right here. Mm-hmm. And so if we go to the customer view model.cs, I can say, well, yeah, I want you to be of type iNotify property changed. Now, that's not going to come up because I don't have the right... I think it's system component model. Let's just get the spelling right, and then it'll be able to find it for me. So if I hit Control Dot, there we are, using system component model, it'll add that, and then I can hit Control Dot again and say go ahead and implement that interface, and so it does, and what it did, of course, was put in the event property changed. Now that we are implementing that, we should be able to run this and pass that test, because now we are of that type since we implement it. Let's bring that up and run the tests. And it comes up green indicating that all the tests succeeded. And we can click on that and see all of them, including the one that had failed, passed now. So that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I think that's what sold us on this. We looked at some different testing options and for the phone. But the harness here is just really cool because these are, if you can go back to the actual test class, like customer view model.
Oh, you want to see it back in here? Yes. Okay, sure. Where are we? If I could, it would be very interesting. There we are.
Well, so this like is a standard, test class, and then standard test methods with there assertions, and then the way that it's hooked in is pretty slick. That was, I think,
it's in the main page.
Yep. XAML CS.
Yep.
So there was, there was a switch in here that just said, if we're running the unit test, which could be, a Pragma FD bug or whatever, then it just hooks in and it intercepts everything and just runs the test instead. So very easy to turn this on and off. So I guess, it's creating these...
Okay, we're back. We had a little bit of trouble with the internet, but we are back where we were. John, still with me?
I'm there.
Excellent. So we were looking at this main page, and you were commenting that all that it takes to get this thing running is this little bit of code that we stole from David Gadd, and he stole from Jeff Wilcox, and everybody is invited to steal from us.
Right. And so what's neat there is it's, if you want to run the unit test, which could be done, could be, you could have a Pragma IFD bug or whatever, then it creates and injects that unit test page as the main page content. So it seems like a slick way to do the unit testing, and it is running in the target environment. It's running in on the Windows phone, which is kind of cool.
Exactly. Okay, so what we're going to do, here comes the scary part. We're going to create a new application, and we're going to build an MVVM Lite application, add the Silverlight unit test, and then start building from scratch some of the tests that make sense to build
now,
for that.
So, you know, the obvious question, why throw out perfectly working code for some value of perfectly working in order to do this? I mean, do we want to talk about that?
Well, I think the thing to do is not to throw it out, but to set it aside and say, okay, that code showed us how to do certain things, like how to get the pop-ups working and how to talk to the database and so on, and I don't want to have to figure that out again. But what I would like to do is let the design emerge a bit more now that we know how to do some of the technique of talking to the database, let the design emerge a bit more out of the tests, which will help us get to the essential requirements.
I think that makes sense. And you know, also, there's in just about every app I work on, you by the time you're done with it, you say, now I know how we should have written it, you know? And so I think the goal is to do something like this, where you do a quick spike, you figure out, you know, how you figure out the technical limitations and you know, what your actual requirements are once you see something on the screen. And then if you have the opportunity as early as possible, you know, make some kind of brutal refactoring. So in this case, it's pretty easy. We've got working code we can copy and paste in as necessary, but this is a good chance to do it right.
I have already installed the MVVM templates and done the installation, but we should talk about where you get that. So you go to mvvmlite.codeplex.com, and not only can you download everything you need, but you can also click here to the Get Started link, which takes you back to Laurent's site, and there he has an explanation of how to install the MVVM Lite toolkit. Okay, John, what I'm going to do is open up Visual Studio and create an MVVM application that will also support the testing that we want to do. We want a new project, and we're going to use the MVVM Lite template that we installed from the MVVM Lite project. Mm-hmm. We're going to put that into Who Is That? Let's give this a reasonable name. What do you want to call it? Who Is That MVVM?
Or WinPhone?
Ah, WinPhone, even better. Who Is That WinPhone? Okay. Who Is That WinPhone? And this will load the necessary references for MVVM Lite. It will create a view model folder and a model folder. This is all part of the framework, the MVVM Lite framework. Mm-hmm. What we do need to do is add references for the testing. So I'll go to the references and say add reference. And typically here I would go navigate to wherever I put those DLLs. I've used them recently, so they're in my recent list, and I'll just add them from there. And that adds the necessary references, so we're all set up. The only thing that's missing now, there's a few folders that we would like. Right now, the view model folder has two files in it. It has the view model that corresponds to the main page, and it has this very important view model locator, which is part of the MVVM Lite framework, and will adjust that file every time we add another page. There's no view folder, and I prefer to have a view folder, mm-hmm. so let's add that, and we'll use that as we add new pages, so we'll call that view. I think that's okay that it's plural, even though view model isn't. All right, we'll call it view.
I know, I was wondering about
for
that.
For consistency. Yeah, we'll call it view to stay consistent. And then we need a place to keep everything having to do with testing. So let's add one more folder. Mm-hmm. And we had a term that we were happy with for this. That was
I think it was app services.
App services.
And I think with that too, you know, we had testing related things. We had a test folder in there, but we also had like a you know, things like repository and that kind of stuff.
Yes. All right, so let's add a tests folder to this. Okay, and that's where we can put our first tests and anything else that we need that's related to testing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the way this starts is that we create our first test class and our first test, which is designed to fail.
Right.
So I think the thing to do would be to begin with the person repository testing to make sure that we have, you know, at least the basis of a repository. Does that make sense?
That sounds good.
And we'll call that, say, person repository test?
Sounds great. Yep.
And we're going to have to decorate that a bit.
Can I interrupt just a second?
Please.
Do you want to try having me type and you know what I mean? Try the pair thing. I don't know if it'll...
I'm certainly game.
I'll at least be Code Monkey. I have remote control. Okay, so first, let me see if I've got this right.
Go ahead.
I'm going to test class.
Yeah. You're going to need the includes, which you should be able to do with control dot. There you go.
Okay. And then I'll start writing a test to drop in a... Okay, so now we want to create our first test, and what would you like me to test first here?
I guess the simplest thing to test, because we're just going to instantiate a repository, is to add a new person and make sure that that person got added.
Okay, so we'll say I'll call this we're testing that we can add a person to the repository.
Right.
So can add and retrieve.
Well, let's not retrieve the person. Let's retrieve his ID or her ID. And that'll give us a start because everything's going to be ID-based.
Sure. So we'll say can add person
and
retrieve ID.
And get ID, retrieve ID, either way. Actually, I'm sorry to be a stickler for names, but I would make a get ID because retrieve implies that you're going in and taking an action against the database. And the action is adding the person, you get back an ID.
Okay. So now we'll say on this, you know, one other thing is we, last week we were using the should library.
Yes.
And I like using that. Do you mind if I add
that
in?
No, let's do that. That's a good idea.
Okay, so I'm going to go in here and I'll say references add library package reference. And I'll go to online and I'll bring in should. So I think I want to do both should and should fluent.
Right.
And if I was smart, I would have done should fluent, and that would have brought in the other. Okay.
And one day we're going to take a close look at shouldly, just because I like the name.
Okay, so here I can bring in should.
Yep.
And using should fluent.
Yeah, and jump up to DevExpress, and let's unload that. As valuable as DevExpress is, for the purpose of this video, I think it's creating what's going to look like a certain amount of clutter.
Sure. And I think here I have to using should fluent. Is that
it's not happy with that.
No. There we go. All right. you know what?
You built, and unfortunately CodeMate said, well, you're not using those other things, so I'm taking them out. And if you put should back in, it'll take it right back out until you use it.
Okay. So let's use it.
There you go.
Okay, so I'll say var person equals new person.
Good.
And we'll say, I forget.
You can't do that because it doesn't exist, so just Control-Z out of that or back out of that. And then we can hit Control-Dot to create from context.
Okay. So generate class for person?
Yes. Now that class should, that person class should not be in our testing. It should be in our regular...
In our model class.
It should be in our model, right. And so we're going to need to adjust the namespace on that.
Okay, so this will be just model.
Yes.
Okay.
Or EL, either way.
Modele. I did it again. I'm really stuck on that.
It's the French model. Modele.
Okay, and I want to change that from internal to public. Okay. And then now I can go back in here. I'll do control dot to bring in that namespace. and I'll say I want to bring in the first name equals Bob, last name equals Smith.
What I really like here, and this isn't to do with test-driven as much as where Visual Studio has gone, is that you can essentially create the properties as you go and then just instruct it to add that property to the class, and it knows mm-hmm. what to do. And so you don't have to go into the old model of pre-creating everything. You can create things in a much more natural flow.
Right. And I think I heard someone say that this is kind of consume first. So you write in terms of, I'm going to be consuming this from the person class, and then if the person class doesn't support what I need, well, just add it for me. You know what I want. So here it's done that. It's created those, and it's done all the get set and all that stuff. Okay, so now the next step is I'm going to need to create a repository, and then I'm going to need to...
So I'm sorry, I just want to revel in that. I mean, you know, we do a certain amount of, we like to get together and complain a bit about this and that and how things may not be the way, you know, exactly the way we would have done it and so on. But every once in a while, you know, when the tools just blow you away like that, I think it's worth stopping and going, whoa, that was kind of cool. Okay, enough Microsoft boosterism. We can go on.
Okay, so I'm realizing we're going to, as we've done before, we're going to need this repository over and over. So I'm going to create a repository and initialize it in the setup method, test setup.
That sounds right. And what I'm realizing is that what we're about to do is very, very similar to what we did on the server. So as we have discussed in the past, I think what we should do is run through this first test and then go see what we can grab from the server, rather than
sure.
reinventing this.
Okay, so what I'll do then is I will just make this test work. We'll keep it really simple, and then we'll kind of take the turkey out of the microwave, as they say.
Or that was a Julia Child reference, right? I hope.
Yeah, but
I'm not
I
sure I would have referred to this as a turkey myself, but that's okay.
I'm not sure if she's brilliant enough to microwave a turkey, though. Yeah. That's something I want some credit for. Okay, so I'll say var person repository.
That's wonderful. I love that. You get full credit for the idea of microwaving turkeys for Thanksgiving. And, my favorite story on that, and I know this is just totally apropos of nothing, but since you brought it up, was this newspaper story about this fellow who accidentally turned the oven on clean with the turkey in it, which locks the oven, you know, and puts it at super high temperature. And when
right.
he was finally able to unlock the oven, there was this just totally charred turkey. But he said they touched it and the skin fell off completely, and what was left was the best turkey he'd ever eaten.
Well, there you go.
I do not recommend this because God knows you could set your house on fire. But
wow.
But there you go. That was on NPR a year or two ago.
So there's another option for cooking your turkeys.
There you go. So the things you learn when you follow the full stack. And we mean it when we say the full stack. Okay, so you've got the repository, it generated the class, you're fixing up the namespace. I'm
yep.
glad that you're acting as my code monkey, because clearly you're doing it through telepathy.
Well, I think, though, that the name of the test is pretty self-explanatory, right? We're going to want it, and we have gone through this before on the server. So I'm going to say I'm going to add the person to the repository, and then I'm going to retrieve the ID. And I'm going to say the ID should be non-zero.
Fine.
Or non-null or something, right? So I'll say, and I could even say int.
You do int question mark in case you do get a null. There you go.
Okay, so int ID equals person repository dot add. And again, consume first. And I'll say person. And then I'll do the control dot there to bring the add in. And then I'll say, now you may notice I've been very careful. Normally I build all the time as I'm working, but I've been very careful because I don't want my should reference removed. So I'll say id.should.
That's a great reason not to compile. Is that you
that's
don't,
true.
You don't want your using statement cleaned up. So how
and
come I'm not getting should?
Should not. There's something like that.
Dot B and then parens for null.
Now,
no, I know that syntax is right.
I think maybe we need to add a using, because there's that should fluent. I think if okay. I say using should.fluent.
And, bingo.
Okay, so now this test should fail, and then we'll make it work. So in order, we need to do that bootstrappy stuff, right?
Well, let's go look at the person repository. It has an add method, so this is actually going to compile, but it's not, nothing is happening in that method, and so the test should fail. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me what you mean about the bootstrappy stuff.
We need to actually run the Silverlight unit test. So I believe that means in our main page we have to copy in some code, right?
That's right. We saw that in the other application, and we want to go grab something similar here. So
okay.
Let me grab the mouse from you, and yep. I will just drop that right in for you. And then we need to add the using statements. Okay, so I dropped in the code from main page that we had used before. And just to review this, on line 12, we see that there's a Boolean. We test that Boolean on line 14. In this case, it's true, so we are running the test. That's going to, and this is really interesting, what it does is it creates the test page and sets it as the content to the main page, and that's how you see those results inside the emulator itself.
Mm-hmm. And then we looked at this before. This is interesting, too, where it actually captures that back press key, because normally within the app, if you hit that back button, there's only one form. It's injecting itself into just one form, and so normally if you hit the back button, it would go back to your home screen. And so what this is doing is it's saying you can keep navigating through this one view, and when you hit the back button, you just go up a level.
Exactly.
Really pretty slick.
And that's Jeff Wilcox at work.
Cool. So I think I can run this now.
I think you can, and what I need to do is give you back control. You have remote control, John.
Excellent. Format C drive.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have it defaulting to device, so if you just go up to where it says device and change that on top to emulator, and there we go.
That was the first build error I'd seen where it was wanting Zune software. Okay. So now this is interesting. We're going to have to dig into this at some point, these tags, because you can assign tags to specific things. So here, this is a not implemented, which is kind of what we'd expect, and we see the test fails. And, you know, should be pretty obvious. So now I can stop this. I can leave the emulator running. And, I mean, we're going to be throwing this test away in a second, but...
But let's make it pass, and let's just add a person to the repository and return a value.
Okay, so here we could say this will be like a fake repository, but we could... And we're going to be abstracting an interface and all that, but let's just have a list.
And for list, you're going to need another include for generic.
Yep. Equals new. I think I need to.
You could do var people equal new list of.
Sure, in here I can do that. Okay.
Oh, you can't do var now because you have it as a member variable, so you just want to say people now.
You're right. It's amazing how as soon as I get the keyboard, I get really stupid.
Whoever's not driving is always
right,
gains
okay.
20 IQ points.
Okay, so I'll say people.add.
Right. Now, we haven't given that person an ID. And I think before you add them, you want to have...
What I was thinking is I would just return the count. Or you know what I mean? Each
That's
person
fine. I mean, I think at some point we're going to want the person to have the ID internally,
right.
But that's fine.
For the sake of just kind of demonstrating
yep, that it
the
works.
General flow here.
Yep.
And then I think we can...
Now, you're totally stuck, so let me just help you here for a second. There you go. Okay. Control-F12 to take control away from John and show this. And so that did work, and we see that passed.
Okay. So now I think what we should do is what worked for us when we ran through this was to as you discussed, we've already got several unit tests we've written on the server that validate a person repository, add, remove, all that kind of stuff. So we could drop that in and reuse those tests because we're going to want to and customize them. But I mean, we're doing a similar thing on the client that we did on.
Sure.
The
so let's do that. Let's go ahead and grab. We have here person CS. Let's go ahead and grab the person CS that we have already, and that's just adding a whole bunch of properties, so that should be pretty straightforward. And then save that and come back to under repository, person repository. All right, so what we want to do, we called it fake person repository, which is in fact a better name, as you pointed out. So let's go ahead and say add new item, and this will be fake person repository.
Can I ask one question real quick?
Please.
Why not? Do you want to just rename the existing one?
No, I want to toss the existing one in.
Okay.
And do this.
Gotcha.
And so now we're going to take and replace that class with the class that we had on the server.
Delete all that. Delete the colon. Right-click on the class and say extract interface. There we go.
Well done.
And excellent. Change that from iFake person repository to just iPerson repository. See? As soon as you took the keyboard, I got smarter.
It works. And yeah. I immediately became an idiot.
And you hit select all. Yep. Perfect.
Well done.
Okay.
Well done. Now, this is sitting in appservices.repository, and is that where we want iPerson? I think we do, and we want fake person repository there as well, and so we can get rid of person repository. I just want to make sure I'm getting rid of the right thing. There it is. So let's go ahead and delete that.
I worked so hard on that.
I know, I'm sorry. And then go to fake person repository, and
we have a ton of namespaces to bring in there.
But it's pretty straightforward. You just, in fact, I think that's it. It was just those two were what it wanted.
Yep. And then iPerson repository has the same. If you go to iPerson repository, you'll need.
Okay, I'm just looking at this. Do we want this whole long? I guess that's fine.
Yeah, you know, I think you can delete all of that because I forget, honestly. I think you can delete that.
Because it's in the same namespace.
You're right.
So it should be just fine. Okay, iPerson repository, this isn't the right thing, and we need to go to iEnumerable and say add this. And then we need to add for the person the model namespace. And we are good there.
If you look at person repository test.
New person repository. Type of namespace person repository could not be found.
Because we want a fake person repository. And instead of add, it was something else.
Fake person repository was save. Because I could have done that with IntelliSense.
Oh, right. So as you're doing this, just to kind of recap, this is a fake, which is a working but not production-ready implementation. So it's an implementation that will work for testing purposes. And so because of that reason, it's using an in-memory data store, and that worked great on the server, and it also is going to work fine on the client app.
Right. And we draw a distinction between a fake, which is working, and a mock, which is not. And I think that we want to find our way somewhere in between, because we don't want to put any more energy into the fake than is absolutely required to be able to do the other testing that we want to do. Mm-hmm. Because we're not trying to prove anything about repository logic. We're just trying to move forward with testing the rest of the application.
Absolutely. Yeah, I talked to Phil Hack about this early on when we were starting this on the server side, and he said, you know, yeah, a repository is an abstraction, and when you're doing your testing, a lot of the time you're testing more your application logic, like your controllers, and so he generally uses mocks for repository testing in the controllers. And I think that's, you know, the majority of the logic we'll want to be testing is going to be at the view model level and the application level.
So if you could come up with a word that was acceptable halfway between fake and mock, but I'm going to let that go. And
you almost got me there.
The next
Let's run it.
Piece is to run this test, yes?
3, 2, the dramatic countdown, and boom.
Excellent.
Okay, so there we've shown that pretty much we wrote a simple test, and then we verified, we made a bunch of huge changes to our app, and the test was still valid, and that's cool.
So we're ready to start creating new tests and move forward with new tests. Now, let's take, as a starting point on that, let's take a look at some of the other repository tests that we have used in the past, again, from the server.
I think, here's my wild idea here.
Yep.
Could we copy in the entire test class from the server?
We can do that.
I think all of these are going to be valid.
We can certainly do that. So this is called Person Repository Test. It is called the same thing on the server, so there's no reason not to just copy that in and replace what we have with that. And that will buy us all of those tests. So let's take a look from the top. We do have some things to clean up, clearly. We have a setup for the new fake person repository, a cleanup, setting that to null. Here's the previous version of can't add new person in get ID.
Mm-hmm.
And should be true.
I think we need to bring in that namespace. I don't know if it'll come in there.
I'm
it's
sure.
An extension.
I think we need actually should, not just should fluent in this case.
Yep.
And all of the errors just went away by doing that.
Excellent.
That's like drawing to an inside straight when you put in one using statement and 65 errors go away.
I'm sure you've done this before when you make a huge refactor on an app and you get like 500 build errors, and then it's like make one change and boom, 250 gone. Yes, you know.
It's just too much fun.
So I think we could probably go for this, and there's a good chance that this is all still going to work. We're testing repository logic, which worked on the server, and it's all in memory. So I'm expecting all of this should pretty much still work.
Yeah, let's try it. Can't hurt. It gives a countdown to see whether we want to use a tag, and it runs all the tests, and they all passed.
Can you click on that person repository test? That's pretty neat. So that shows we've got a working test suite on all these, we can see.
That's very, 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 very nice. All right, John, so these, as you say, are all working. I think that the next step is to really dive into the add contact view model and create some tests for that. Mm-hmm. But it looks like we're at a good stopping point for today.
I think so. I mean, so what we've covered here, we've created a new app. We're rebuilding kind of, you know, now that we understand how limitations and all the wiring and, you know, all the technical background. So now we've got a testable phone app. We've got MVVM Lite installed. And as you're saying, the next steps are going to be building out those view models and writing those tests that define how those view models work. And what's cool, as you were pointing out to me, is that we can do tests first, build out our view models, and later hook in views to them. So we really are building out, you know, the view, you know, building out that logic at the view model level and then hooking on the UI whenever we want to.
Which gives us a really nice, enforced, clean separation of the back logic from the view. And mm-hmm. and one of the things that I have wondered about and spent a lot of time thinking about is how do you write tests for such a view-centric application? And I think that while you could make a case for view first versus view model first, I'm inclined to start with view model first, if only to force myself to set aside preconceptions about the view and think more about the logic of the application.
Yep.
So for today, for Microsoft, this is Jesse Liberty.
And this is John Galloway.
And thanks very much. We'll talk to you very soon.